What aspect of the Buddhist teachings that tends to be underappreciated here in the West is the teaching on dhatu. It can be translated as element, translated as property, translated as potential. Physical events in the world are explained by the provocation of the different elements or properties or potentials. Fire potential, water, wind, earth. Of those three, earth is the one that's not provocable. The other three can be provoked. So when the fire potential is provoked, that there are fires. When the water potential is provoked, there are floods. When the wind potential is provoked, there are windstorms. When the provocation ends, these phenomena end. But the potential is latent. It can be provoked again. The mind has dhatu as well. The Buddha gives different analysis. One is of the potential for sensuality, the potential for form, and the potential for formless. As we're meditating, we're trying to provoke and sustain the provocation of the potential for form, our sense of the body as we feel it from within. How do you feel your head right now? How do you feel your shoulders as you feel it from within? Your arms, your torso, your legs. You can pay attention to these things and then drop it right away and go back to your old sensual provocations if you want. But if you're trying to develop concentration, you want to provoke your awareness of the body and then sustain your awareness of the body as you feel it from within. Sustain this potential. It's important to keep this in mind. Some people say that the purpose of meditation is just to be with whatever comes up. But here we are trying to develop a path, develop right concentration. And due to that, you take advantage of the fact that your experience is not just a dead letter. It's full of potentials. And you want to provoke the right ones and not provoke the wrong ones. So, think of the body as you feel it from within. Try to sustain that awareness as much as you can, all the way through the in-breath, all the way through the out. We focus on the wind property in the body itself as our main topic, because of all the properties, that's the easiest to manipulate. You can think of short breathing, long breathing, fast, slow, heavy, light, deep, shallow, any combination of those, and see what feels best. And then adjust things. When one combination doesn't feel so good anymore, you can adjust it again. But this is the potential we're trying to cultivate. So think in those terms. You're not just looking at the body as it presents itself. You are actually actively provoking your awareness of the body. And you notice if you focus too strongly on one part of the body, it begins to feel uncomfortable. Okay, adjust your focus. Think of the image the Buddha gives as holding a baby quail in your hand. If you hold it too tight, it's going to die. Hold it too loosely, it's going to fly away. What's the right amount of pressure to maintain? You're trying to give rise to a sense of ease and well-being. Again, it's not just watching feelings come in and go willy-nilly. Actively cultivating a sense of ease, a sense of rapture, as the Buddha said in his instructions on breath meditation. Train yourself to breathe in and out, sensitive to rapture. If it's not there yet, well, what's the potential for rapture? What kind of feelings lead to a sense of fullness in your sense of the body? Train yourself to breathe in and out, sensitive to pleasure. Again, if the pleasure's not there yet, or not strong enough, now what potentials are there? Usually it's good to start with just a sense of feeling okay. Breath comes in, breath goes out, wherever you're focused. Try not to push things too much. Don't force the breath in, force the breath out. Hover around it until that sense feels just right. You're provoking this aspect of your awareness, and then try to maintain it in a way that feels really good. Now the problem is that sometimes when it feels really good, you get excited, and you drop it. That's another potential you've got to watch out for, the potential for delight. Because all too often with our pleasures in the world, if we don't delight in them, they just disappear. They seem to be nothing. If you want to get attached to things, you've got to delight in them. In the beginning with the meditation, you have to delight, but it has to be a balanced delight. Enough to make you want to enjoy and explore further what can be developed here. But not so much that you drop it and just focus on the delight, because that destroys it. You're trying to keep your mind at an even keel as the pleasure comes. This is called being developed in body. Other schools of thought in the Buddhist time talked about being developed in the body, similarly being healthy. But for the Buddha, it had to do with your relationship to the body. Pleasure comes, but you're not overcome by it. This is part of your training in restraint. This is why we have restraint of the senses as a foundation for the meditation. You go around delighting in sensual pleasures, sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations. That habit of exclaiming over something, cultivating delight, sustaining delight, will then get carried into the meditation. So when you're exercising restraint of the senses, you see something that you really like, your immediate reaction has to be, okay, it's nice, but I can't continue with this, sustaining it. You have to look at the object in another way so you don't cultivate lust, you don't cultivate desire, don't cultivate greed. And when that becomes habitual, then it's easier to transfer that habit into the meditation. The same with restraint over your speech. You find yourself exclaiming over things, even if it's just internal speech. Then when the time comes to meditate, you'll be doing the same thing. So when something comes up, you see it, you comment, you drop the comment. It's like Sariputta's image of dealing with unpleasant sounds at the ear. Tell yourself simply there is contact, this comes. When the contact ends, that's the end of it. The same principle applies to pleasures that would otherwise pull you in. The contact is there, and when the contact ends, that's it. You don't have to continue reverberating in your mind. When you can develop that habit, then when the time comes to meditate, and things feel really good inside, you comment, yes, they're good, and then you drop it. Think of a John Lee's image of the dirt falling off the plow. The plow goes into the earth, the dirt comes up, falls off the plow. And if you're stupid, you gather it up in a bag. And you just get weighed down. So just think of it. The dirt falls off the plow, and there it goes. You let it go. The pleasure comes from meditation. You notice there's pleasure, then you let it go. Because you don't have to delight in it for the pleasure to do its work. The pleasure of the sense of the body as you feel it from within, it really is nourishing, really is sustaining. It's going to provide a good foundation for you. You have to learn how to maintain that foundation without destroying it by aggravating the potential for delight. So when something really good happens in meditation, a really comfortable sense of the body from within, you comment on it, and then you let the comment just dissolve, disperse. You don't try to hold on to it. You don't try to replicate it. Because these things will disperse on their own. That's the nature of comments in the mind. Our fear is that if we don't hold on to our joy, don't hold on to our delight, we're not going to get enough out of it. So we keep on creating more and more and more replicas of the joy, replicas of the delight. And they just weigh us down. They get stuck into that bag that we're dragging behind us. Notice simply that there is pleasure. Then let that notice dissolve, and you'll be back where you were with the pleasure. It's a different kind of relationship. It doesn't require that kind of delight. All it requires is that you maintain the causes, which are being focused on the breath, ardent, alert, mindful, putting aside greed and distress with reference to the world, putting aside greed and distress with reference to your breathing, being with that training of being sensitive to the pleasure as you breathe in, sensitive to the pleasure as you breathe out. Let it do its work. It'll do its work without you having to interfere. You just make sure that you focus on the causes, and the results will come. The cause here, of course, is maintaining that sense of the body as you feel it from within. Don't lose that sense of whole body awareness. That's the potential you're trying to develop. So it's a really useful way of looking at things. The potentials that you aggravate, the potentials that you don't. The potentials that you start with an impulse. And then the question is it worth sustaining the impulse? The impulse to stay with a sense of the body, this potential for form, that's to be sustained. The potential for delight, you let it come, you let it go. You've got work to do. Good work. Pleasant work. If you have a matter-of-fact attitude toward it, then it stays with you. So cultivate this potential, the potential for form. As for the other potentials that would build up around it and destroy it, just let them go. When you see things as potentials like this, then you get a better sense of what you're doing in the present moment. And it's all part of the pattern the Buddha set that nourishes the Dhamma. You commit yourself to doing these things, and then you reflect on which potentials are working, which ones are not. And this way you become more and more skilled.